Good morning, and welcome to the First Parish of Stowe and Acton, a very welcoming Unitarian Universalist congregation. For those who are visiting, my name is Tom Rossiello, and I'm the minister here, and it is a real pleasure this morning for me to welcome back someone who served with me in ministry for 2 years here as our intern minister, Rebecca Benefield-Bajur. And Rebecca, by the way, is now the ninth settled minister of the Unitarian Universalist Community Church of Santa Monica, California. They have much better weather than we do there. And she's here to celebrate our big weekend with us, and I couldn't be happier that she's here. So welcome.
Our call to worship this morning is number 437. If you are on this side of the sanctuary, you'll read with me. If you are on this side of the sanctuary, you'll read with Tom. Let us worship with our eyes and ears and fingertips.
Let us love the world through heart and mind and body.
We feed our eyes upon the mystery and revelation in the faces of our brothers and sisters.
We seek to know the wistfulness of the very young and the very old, the wistfulness of people in all times of life.
We seek to understand the shyness behind arrogance, the fear behind pride, the tenderness behind clumsy strength, the anguish behind cruelty.
All life flows into a great common life if we will only open our eyes to our companions.
Let us worship, not in bowing down, not with closed eyes and stopped ears.
Let us worship with the opening of all the windows of our beings, with the full outstretching of our spirits.
Life comes with singing and laughter, with tears and confiding, with a rising wave too great to be held in the mind and heart and body to those who have fallen in love with life.
Let us worship and let us learn to love.
Now I'd like to invite any members of the Social Justice Council that are here to come forward. And they're going to light our chalice. Well, what we've been doing recently is asking various groups in the church to come up and do it, and therefore you get to see who those people are and who you might interact with if you have interest in their projects. And as they light the chalice, I invite you to join in the words of Albert Schweitzer printed in your order of service. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, love divine, come down and dwell among us and within us. Seek us out in the hidden places of the heart where all that is lonely or fearful or weary in us awaits the touch of kindness. This morning we think of all those who need our care and our concern, especially all those who lit candles here this morning, who are carrying with them those who are in the hospital, those who are struggling, as we also carry with us that which is joyful in this community. We think of those who are ill in body or in spirit, those who are mourning the loss of a loved one or the anniversary of that loss. We think of those among us who are battling addiction, and struggling with mental illness in themselves or in their families, and we ask for strength. We ask for courage. We ask for wisdom for us in our daily lives, but also for our world, for our leaders as they continue to make decisions on our behalf, decisions that will affect the lives of so many in the world, especially as violence continues to escalate in Syria. We ask for wisdom for our leaders that they might find a way toward peace with justice. We pray for an end to violence, an end to violence in our hearts or our homes, in our cities, and in our world. Love, love divine, come down and dwell among us and within us so that we may be encouraged, that we may remember our generosity and our bravery, that we may be reminded by the touch of caring, by the hand of friendship, by the companions we find in this faithful gathering to join us in walking together on the journey of life and the journey of the Spirit. May it be so.
You are a very generous people, and this is a generous church. And we express our generosity in many ways through sharing of our time, our skills, our talents, and our financial resources. And this church expresses its generosity in the way it reaches out to the community in many ways. And in one way is the sharing of our Sunday morning offering. One half of the non-pledge offering except that each week on a monthly basis goes to a worthy local, national, or international charitable cause. And during the month of September, the funds that we collect are going to help the people of Ferguson, Missouri, where you all know there's been a very difficult issues of race and police conduct. People have been out of jobs because of it. People have needed legal defense because of it. And with the help of our UU congregations and there, our social action people are going to get that money to help those folks in the best way possible. The morning offering will be gratefully accepted on behalf of all of them and on behalf of this church.
When the waves roll on over the waters and the ocean cries, we look to our sons and daughters to explain our lives. As if a child could tell us why, that as sure as the sun rises, as sure as the sea, as sure as the wind in the trees, we rise again in the faces of our children. We rise again in the voices of our song. We rise again in the waves out on the ocean. And then we rise again. When the light goes dark with the forces of creation across a stormy sky, we look to reincarnation to explain our lives. As if a child could tell us why, that as sure as the sun rise, as sure as the sea, as sure as the wind in the trees, we rise again in the faces of our children. We rise again in the voices of our song. We rise again in the waves out on the ocean. And then we rise again. We rise again in the faces of our children. We rise again in the voices of our song. We rise again in the waves out on the ocean. And then we rise again. And then we rise again. We rise again.
It is so good to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for inviting me to be with you. Thank you so much for doing your building program when I was not here. It looks fantastic. You have so many things to be proud of. What a joy it is to be with you this morning. There is a way that the light falls in this sanctuary. As the seasons change, there is a way that the wood of these pews has been smoothed by your fingers. There's a way that those bright candles smell of the new wax. There's a way that the air tastes so sharp and clean as you drive up to the church on a Sunday morning. There's a way that deep bell rings, summoning us as it summoned our ancestors' ancestors to remember, to come into this place, to remember. And so I remember, and I am glad. My senses are awakened by being with you. I remember the seeing and tasting, the smelling and touching and hearing, walking with you during the 2 years I served as your intern minister. Walking with you as the seasons and the light changed, as the seasons of my own life changed. Some of you here remember the baby shower you threw for me. It was May 30th, 2009. I remember because my daughter was born the next morning. On the way to the hospital, my husband called the church to say the baby is on its way and you lit a candle here for her and for me, for her safe journey and for mine. You will not believe this, but Miriam is 5 years old now. She just started kindergarten, and she did fly out here with me from California, but she got into the Hungry Hippos game in the RE wing, so I think that's where she is. She's been there since 9 o'clock this morning. And you remember, and I remember, waiting for her. Instead of preaching, I actually thought I would just have Miriam come up and take a bow and head out. But she said that wasn't a good plan, so we decided not to do that. A moment ago, Mike sang for us so beautifully the poetry of that song, "When the waves roll on over the waters and the ocean cries, we look to our sons and daughters to explain our lives." I look at Miriam, my daughter, as I know so many of you look at all our children, and I think, how has it been 5 years? The saying goes, if you are parenting young children, that the days are long, but the years are short. So much has happened for her in these 5 years, So much has happened for you in these 5 years. And so we come to this place to remember. In this house of hope, we drink deeply from the clear wells of memory. Your memories are different from mine. Your memories, some of you, go much further back. Maybe you come into this space and remember your wedding. Maybe you remember the first day you sat in the back pew, thinking that you could not be seen there. You remember the person who greeted you in coffee hour. You remember. You remember the changes, the meetings, the children growing older. You remember the memorial services, how we have gathered to celebrate and mourn the lives of our beloveds who have left us, some far, far too soon. You remember the harvest fair and the apples sliced into those endless pies. You remember. A friend of mine that I met when I was working down the road in Lincoln once told me about one of the symbols of Ghanaian culture, which is the Sankofa bird. The Sankofa bird, I am told, is a very wise bird. She remembers the future. She moves forward while facing backward, and she doesn't stop. This is important. This is what we are here to do today, I think. Maybe it is what you do most weeks in this sacred space. Prepare yourselves to fly forward into that unknown future while looking backward, gathering all we can of wisdom and meaning and stories to sustain us, to remember what has brought us this far, what will carry us yet further. And so we look backward into the long history of this congregation with gratitude and with humility. Looking at that road you have made by walking, I'm sure it was an unpredictable path. That's what happens with building programs. So often the valleys and the cliffs were very poorly marked to begin with. You had to walk every mile in order to get to where you wanted to go. And you know what a journey it has been. I just got here on Thursday. I was flown in from California. I was not with you when the painting was being undertaken. I was not there when the inspections were finally passed. I wasn't there when the conversations began about the money. Oh, it was the money. It's very difficult. I wasn't here with your architects deciding where the beams and rafters would go. I wasn't here with the architects of support who gathered for the leadership meetings, for so many meetings, more and more meetings, until they could take a leap of faith. But I am here now, and I want to say how inspiring it is to see a group of people come together for a common goal, to make a bridge between memory and hope, connecting your past and our shared future. You don't have to look very far in the news to see how many other communities are weighed down by the past, weighed down by all that has been, unable to move into that future. So many congregations in this time are shuttering their doors, are moving to smaller spaces, consolidating their resources. How joyful it is to be among a community that is looking back with humility and gratitude, but is moving forward. Don't stop now. Your hope is contagious. Your leap of faith has not gone unnoticed. That is the way hope is. That is the way faith moves. Yours has affected all of us in this great solidarity of Unitarian Universalists. Your hope is contagious because, as I know Tom preaches, we are all in this together. You may have seen an article by the philosopher Samuel Scheffler in the New York Times about a year ago. I think he was talking about a similar concept, but he used different vocabulary. The first line was a doozy. He declared categorically, "I believe in life after death." "Really? Tell me more about that," I thought. Well, this philosopher went on to explain that he doesn't actually believe that his consciousness will survive his demise, but he believes that the life of other human beings will go on after he is gone. He believes that other people will come to be in this world after he is gone, and he believes that tenet, that holding, that life will continue after his death, is central to the great human project we have undertaken of taking care of one another, of making art, of raising our children, of sharing hope. He offered an example of the P.D. James novel, The Children of Men, in which people in a dystopian near future contend with the fact that no new children are being born into the world. All the rest of humankind has a normal lifespan, but without the promise of a new future, without knowing that life will continue after our deaths, the society collapses utterly. It turns out to be impossible for the people of the novel to experience meaning and purpose right now, without knowing that life will go on in the future, without knowing, as the poet writes, that we will rise again in the faces of our children, in the voices of our song, in the waves out on the ocean. Scheffler concludes, however self-interested or narcissistic we may be, our capacity to find purpose and value in our lives depends on what will happen to others after our deaths. This phrasing may be unfamiliar to you. I don't usually hear Unitarian Universalists believing in life after death. But I wanted to bring that story to you because I see you as a congregation that is deeply invested in the future flourishing of the people that we will never know and cannot imagine, the people that will gather here in 50 years, in 100 years, in 150 years. Truly, this is a congregation that believes in life after death, that you and I are already attached to the flourishing of future generations, and that is the gift that we are celebrating today. You are living your lives not only as if there are others who will come here in the future, but as if these unknown lives mattered deeply to you already. Don't stop now. Now, I have other reasons to know that this congregation is attached to the future, is investing in the future. Certainly, this was active when you invested your time and love and teaching in me as your intern. It has been demonstrated again and again as this is truly a teaching congregation, not only for those who are formed here for the ordained ministry, but those who are formed here for the ministry that is served in families and in businesses, that is served in teaching positions no matter where you are. And so I celebrate today how that attachment to the future, how your investment in teaching will continue to shape this congregation long after the painting is done. Don't stop now. If you believe in life after death, that gift that lives on, then you have already created a legacy. Now, I know that you are very smart people, and when you hear the word legacy, you might start thinking about fundraising. Now, since you all just built an incredible building, I know you have spent incredible time talking about money here recently. If you're interested in some unsolicited advice from your California cousins, here it is. Don't stop now. The activist and veteran fundraiser Kim Klein has pointed out that we are on the brink of an incredible demographic change. Our baby boomer generation is retiring, a generation that led a new boom in the development of nonprofit and third sector businesses, challenging old norms by doing business and doing good. So many of you have already spent a lifetime giving generously to the causes that move you. And today, it is a good day to continue how you want your gifts to live on after you are gone. It is not too early to make planned gifts, to name this congregation or other causes close to your heart as beneficiaries of your estate. In fact, I'm sure some of you have already done this, made gifts to this church and other congregations. Thank you so much for that act of hope. If you have not, consider when you will know that it is the right day to make those plans. What are you waiting for? What will be the cue that leads you to take on this task of creating an inheritance for the future, of passing the gifts of the ancestors on to the descendants? So I know you've been talking about leadership and money. To do all it is that you have done, don't stop now. Remember that those of us who don't make planned gifts will be making unplanned gifts. My colleague, Victoria Safford, shared a story about planned giving with our congregation in White Bear, Minnesota, where she serves. She wrote, last year, when this congregation sustained a hard succession of losses, people made contributions in their honor before we even had an endowment vehicle in place. They sent gifts. They enclosed notes saying in one way or another, please make this money a memorial to that person's life so that all that she gave might continue and blossom and thrive for people who will never know her or me. Please make this a memorial, an inheritance for future members of this congregation and the causes they will someday serve. Victoria Safford said, they don't mean balance the budget with my check, or buy paper clips and pay the bills and pay the staff and let that be that. They meant, let these funds be a gift from the ancestors to the descendants. Out of our grieving and our gratitude, let this gift live on. Out of your faith in the future, out of your hope and your commitment, out of the children who have grown up here and the new ones who aren't with us yet, out of the ministers who have served here, those who have learned and grown here, out of the memory of the beloveds that we have lost and mourned here, out of the lives that have been changed here, the causes that have been furthered here, out of all that we are and celebrate and hold close today, let these gifts live on. In a moment, we will sing together our closing hymn, I Know I Can. We will sing, though days be dark with storms and burdens weigh my heart, though troubles wait at every turn, I know I can go on. I know I can go on because your hope and your love and your faith is contagious. And that's why I call your attention to the hymn's final verse when we will sing, so brothers take my hand, and sisters sing my song. When hope awaits at every turn, I know we will go on. So when we get to that verse, when we say, brothers, take my hand, it will be time to put down your hymnals and join hands to make real that love and promise that we will carry with us when we leave today. It will be time to remember and name all the gifts we carry from our past, even as we fly forward together. Don't stop now.
Though days be dark with storms and burdens weigh my heart, troubles wait at every turn. I know I can go on when sorrow heals my soul and burdens make me strong. Though troubles wait at every turn, I know I can go on. My sister in my heart, my brother in my song. Though troubles wait at every turn, I know I can go on. And though the journey is long, the destination is near. Though troubles wait at every turn, I know I can go on. So brothers, take my hand, and sisters, sing my song. When hope awaits at every turn, I know we will.
Before you, keep love's path.